Death Star. That thing's operational.
Dr. Banner, now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
Hello and welcome to episode 127 of The Usual Podcast, a podcast where we discuss Star Wars The Old Republic, the Star Wars franchise, and geek and pop culture. I'm your host, Marshall, and with me is my co-host, Will. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, and fortunately, this show will not last 127 hours, which means you won't have to saw off your own arm.
Well, I don't know what that means, but and we're just sitting here enjoying our usual frosty beverages. What are you drinking, dude?
You haven't seen 127
hours? I haven't seen it. I know of it. I just don't know where that reference comes from. I'm confused.
The whole movie is about this guy who gets...
I get it. I know it. I just don't know why you said it.
Because it's 127 episodes.
Oh, I get it now.
Wow.
What you drinking, buddy?
Obviously not as much as you. Let's see. During dinner, I had a nice... my pal here, my cohort, my compatriot, my comrade...
Too many words.
My companion... talked me into a little bit of alcohol tonight.
A little bit. So this should be fun.
I had one for sure Captain and Coke and one accidental Captain and Coke.
Yeah, it was weird. We're like, we told the busser, we're like, oh, we'll have another couple of drinks. We just send the server over.
Right.
And she just thought we wanted another round.
She's a high school student of ours, so right. We can't have her take our order.
No, yeah. So she's like, well, when the server did come over, she's like, oh, do you want anything else besides the other round? I was like, well, I guess just send it anyway.
Yeah, just because I was just going to have a soda instead of Captain Coke. So I had two Captain Cokes.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I am now drinking a Scrimmy.
Yeah,
Scrimshaw.
Classic Fort Bragg style. I had my Glenlivet, my little scotch this evening.
12-year-old
with dinner. 12-year scotch. And then now I'm treating myself, man. It's been a rough few days, I got to tell you. And it's... I'm drinking Sculpin, my favorite.
Did you drink a whole bottle of Glengarry frickin' Blue for the best of times?
No, that's that's for Saturday. All right, man. So before we get started, if you have comments or questions, you can find us at theusualpodcast.com. Email us at theusualpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook, Google Plus, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. Find us on Twitter. Will is at I'm Will Griggs, and I am at Darth Pops. Let's see. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, all the things. Find us, like us, all that, and share us. Tell your friends. It'd be nice.
Tell your friends. It really does help out a lot.
It does. Also, we have our own merch, teespring.com/store/usualpodcast. If you want to pick up some cool stuff, stickers and not mugs. What do we have?
iPhone cases. Yeah, t-shirts.
So it'll be good stuff. We do have a lot of SWTOR this week. I promise to go quickly through it, but we do have the timestamps in the show notes if you want to skip that section and jump just to Star Wars or general pop culture. And for those of you watching live, you're in it for the long haul, man. It's going to be great.
Long haul.
And thanks to everybody who is in the chat room. We have Blay and Skeen and Steve and all kinds of folks who...
No Steve today.
Oh, Steve was there earlier, right in the beginning.
Really?
Of trailer time. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still there, but anyway. Yeah. Thanks for joining us for trailer time. And if you're sticking around, thanks for that. And let's get into just a couple... Nope, before we get to that. We want to do a quick Patreon update.
Yes, where is the best place to get all of our content?
Patreon.com/usualpodcast. And this is how we make enough to pay like server fees and stuff like that. But
beer fees.
And beers and stuff. But really what it comes down to, man, is if we get more, we can start doing some more things. So if you wanna support the show, check us out there and you get extra content for sure. We have a lot of other ideas coming down the pipe.
Yeah, already we've had 3 weeks of newsletters.
Yep.
There's going to be another one coming out.
The newsletters, Will's Baby's doing a great job with that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can actually either get on the email. Well, anybody who donates a dollar or more, it gets automatically put on the email list, but it also gets posted straight to the Patreon page. You get all of our bloopers. You get if you donate $3, you get access to the show early, one day early. $5 or more, you get access to all the video content. So trailer time, video of the show. You're going to be seeing my new real reviews.
Yeah. We got a lot of stuff in the works. And eventually, I'll start putting up some stuff as far as some of my writing and stuff like that. So that's something that we're planning on doing.
And most importantly, if you donate $20 or more, you become an official podcast drinking
buddy. Oh, what a segue, my friend. We have two drinking buddies that
we do. We have two. Who are they?
Well, Mr. John Skeen, who is in the old chat room right now.
And thank you, my friend. He told us that tonight he is drinking an Angel's Envy, which sounds delicious.
It does sound good. And he sent a message to us the other day about a new IPA coming out from one of the breweries near him. So
interesting.
I can't wait to try that. And our other honorary drinking buddy, who is not in the chat, sadly, because I think he's at a board meeting, which sounds exciting.
Finding out if my job gets cut.
Mr. Eddie Edmondson, and we love us some Eddie.
And they're our real life drinking buddies too. So
real life.
Awesome.
How many drinks I've had with Eddie, I can't even count. He's one of our D&D boys, and he's just one of my favorite people.
And we call Skeen our number one enabler.
Oh, God. Thanks, Skeen, for enabling us.
Seriously, enabling the heck out of us. Thank you so much for that.
So anyway, we have a lot of people who have been supporting us for a long time, and we thank you guys for that. So check us out, patreon.com/usualpodcast. Ton of stuff on there.
Yeah, and for those more to come. Those of you who become drinking buddies, we're going to have something special coming for you a few months down the road.
Oh, yeah.
That we're going to honor you guys specifically, so that'll be very cool. Lots of new content coming out, especially going into con season. We're going to be having some great stuff coming
from sure.
Comic-Con. But also, you know, we don't just do this show. We have other stuff. I mean, Marshall writes, I write, you know, I'm hoping to start doing a national parks podcast. Heck, you could do a writing podcast.
I have a lot of stuff I want
to
do.
We have so much in us to give.
Okay. Before we start crying, should we move on?
You're the one that made me drink two captains.
Well, I was crying. All right. So you're so stupid. All right. Before. No, I'll talk about that in a minute. Let's get to SWTOR, dude. You already did it. All right, here we go.
You want to fight? I'm ready.
You do not have to stand against me. Instead, I will share all of this with you, if you will only kneel.
All right, man.
Actually, I do want to interject here something really quick, and this is just kind of funny.
I knew you were going to do that.
Skeen is probably number one enabler, but, you know, it all goes back that I saved him from having to have the talk with Damon Skeen. Okay, you're welcome for that. Hello, I basically had the talk with him
right through
podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome, baby Skeen. So here we are.
He's no longer a baby. It's 3 years now. So
I don't know, man. He's like, what, 20? I'm 20, joking.
25.
He's
at least,
he's pushing 30?
Dude, he's our congressman.
Baby Skeen for Congress. All right. So let's move on, man. Community shout-outs. Just a couple things I want to throw out there about our SWTOR community. Just one, really. Bad Feeling is doing their meetup in Austin, and they're calling it that. I think they're South by Southwest or some madness. I don't know. I have a link in the show notes to it. It is going to be...
I hear it's going to be a Beardapalooza or Beardpocalypse.
There's like a lot of names for it, and I'm not sure what it's going to be called. But it's Saturday, March 10th at the Brass Tap in Austin, and that is going to coincide with the convention going on then. So,
well, didn't I hear the Boomy was going to be there, and so it's going to be Boomy?
Did we meet Boomy? No. I think we did.
But he's got a beard.
A few years ago. Yeah.
And so does Chuck. So.
Right. So it's going to be like Beardapalooza.
Beardpocalypse. Or...
whatever. A lot of beards involved.
Beards.
So definitely check them out if you're in that area. Those guys have got to be a blast to hang out with. They're a ton of fun to podcast with and game with. So in real life, they got to be amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
So
with our beers and their tacos. It's...
Yeah.
Indeed. But of course, we'd have to have the show notes because we plan our show out.
Well, look, somebody's got to plan a show. You can't just go into it haphazardly.
Exactly. Off the seat of your pants all the time. Don't think so.
Right, let's move on. So I threw this in
here. Hashtag refresh the feud.
Speaking of people like Bad Feeling and all of our other SWTOR friends who do Twitch streaming, I thought this story was really cool. Did you see this?
No, but this is a really cool
thing. So I'll bring up some statistics here really quick. So the title of this comes from Game Rant, says Twitch gets more viewers than CNN and MSNBC.
Which is awesome. And we only, you know, account for a handful of that.
Well, look.
Literally.
Literally like five. Like the number five, not percent, like five.
Five.
Anyway, so live streaming platform Twitch is continuing to go blah, blah, blah. And it says has more viewers than Netflix and HBO. But they're not the only two major companies that Twitch is outperforming. It also is outperforming CNN and MSNBC. And it says, This data confirms that Twitch viewership set a new record in January 2018, reaching an average concurrent viewership, which means people watching at the same time, of 962,000 viewers, which is a 22% increase compared to January of 2017. And it's a 26% increase compared to December 2017.
That's only about half of the number of people that show up to your average HQ trivia.
Exactly. And in comparison, MSNBC drew 885,000, CNN 783,000. So it's interesting, but Fox, obviously Fox News Channel and ESPN received 1.5.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're giant. So, but Twitch. People are, but the cool thing about Twitch, which is why,
wasn't Facebook trying to buy Twitch or somebody?
No, Amazon.
Amazon bought them
for $1 billion, I think. Jeez. 3 years ago?
Wow.
Something like that. So it's pretty darn cool because the content that comes from Twitch is all over the place. It's like it's podcasts, it's gamers, it's people,
just like Patreon.
Yeah, it's people like, you know, filming themselves walking around their house. Like it's all kinds of madness. So I really like that,
the early signs of Black Mirror.
Exactly. And I like that this platform is something that we use would be that popular. I think that's kind of cool.
Exactly. You know,
yeah, if it wasn't for us, shoot. I mean, we probably wouldn't have beat MSNBC.
Right? I know, right?
Thanks.
Exactly.
I
was just going to say something funny.
Like literally five.
I forgot what it was.
Like literally.
I know, right?
Five. We've contributed to Twitch viewership right now by
six.
Six.
So we're.
Thank you, the six of you.
We've got an Anne Boleyn handful.
You know what? No, two of them are us.
Doesn't matter. When a president votes for himself, it still counts as a vote.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to call this as an Anne Boleyn handful because she had six fingers.
Okay. All right. Should we move on? Your weekend game, dude. What'd you do this week?
I was going to say something. I totally forgot what it was. Weekend game. Actually, I did log in a couple times this week, but it was only to play the GTN. Hmm. Because, like I said, I'm still...
Kind of addicting, isn't it?
Well, no. It's just I really haven't had a lot of time to do it. I was house-sitting for you for most of the week.
Indeed.
And so that meant I was actually doing a lot of renovations on my RV. Dude, I totally redesigned my bedroom. It totally looks great. But I just haven't had much time to actually be online other than to clean up my Plex account. But so I got on to do GTN a couple times because I'm still cleaning out everything I got from that Hypercrate I bought last month.
Oh, right.
So I'm just going in and
something's got to be worth some.
Yeah. And then when I get back, log back in, it shows what I sold and what I didn't sell. And then I read.
Yeah.
So it's just something to get in and do for about 20 minutes and then I'm out.
I do that kind of stuff quite a bit. I haven't done it in a while, but I have a ton of stuff on a bunch of tunes that I can't wait to do that with. What did I do? I did do What's an Ops Group. We did a KP hard mode, and that was before I left town.
Okay.
And that was before we recorded last. We went to Black Panther, and then that was the next night.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun. I single tanked it, basically.
Okay.
It was awesome. We one-shotted it, and it went really well. And you said
this was veteran mode?
Hard mode.
That's veteran.
Veteran mode, yeah.
Because so, Master is the
nightmare, the high end one. Yeah. So shout out to Unholy Alliance and my What's an Ops Group peeps. You guys are awesome.
Awesome.
And my big thing though this week was my sister got married.
Yeah, she did.
And my little sister, she's 2 years younger than me, doctor, better than me. But she got married and we were out of town from basically Tuesday to before I had to go back to work to Sunday, but it was also my daughter's birthday. So we went to Harry Potter at Universal and we took her as a surprise because my girls are really into Harry Potter. So that was awesome. And then we went down and my sister got married near San Diego in Temecula. And man, we just had a really amazing time. I'm really happy for her. Everything went really well. We danced, we laughed, we drank. And I got to see some people I haven't seen in a long time. So
very cool.
It was, for me, that was like, you know, the highlight. Yeah, actually, the highlight. You know, for a long
I see
time.
I see your family about once a year, maybe twice a year, depending on if we make it through town or not. But Jay and I hadn't seen in like 5 years.
Yeah,
and so it was great to see her. And
yeah, they came up for Christmas. She came up for Christmas.
Yeah, that's why I got to see her for Christmas because I didn't get a chance to go to the wedding. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't invited, but well, whatever.
Not a lot of people were, to be honest with you.
No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, if you're kind of curious, just imagine Marshall with shorter hair and no beard,
and way prettier.
Well, like, you're pretty.
This new cameras make me look good. I'll tell you that.
You're looking good.
I want it. I got a new camera. So anyway, Yeah, Skeen was there. That was fun. Thanks. I did. I like to think I did a good job. And we were talking
about. Yeah, you always do a good job on What's Not Group.
Thanks, buddy. But yeah.
Except for when you sit on fire. Take us into lava.
We got to move on. We got lots to
die at the bottom of an elevator.
You're killing me.
Fall asleep.
But anyway, my sister got married. I'm back to work. It's been a stressful week. I'm so happy to be podcasting again. I feel like we haven't done this in a while. We haven't done it since Black Panther. So exactly. thanks everybody for being here. And this is going to be a fun show.
2 weeks.
All right. We're just jumping straight to discussion topic because although a lot of the people in the community have already covered this, we are going to jump through it. Then you're going to have to follow along with me and pick out stuff that you like. But the winter/spring 2018 roadmap finally dropped from Mr. Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah. So we're going to run through it super quickly. And we're going to hit some highlights and we'll talk about a few things. And then I have some. Basically, what happened is they posted the roadmap and then they opened up a thread. And I have a link to the thread in the show notes. And then they answered.
Basically, they opened up a portal to hell.
Exactly. And then they answered a series of questions, which was pretty cool.
Okay, nice.
So I'll jump through some of those questions too. So let's jump through this. So, roadmap. Should I just read this? I'm just going to read this.
Yeah, go for it.
Here we go. So this is Keith. He says, I think for all of us, this roadmap process we started last year could stand a bit of improvement. Instead of providing information every 90 days or so, it's taking a lot longer to get any information about what we're planning. And honestly, that needs to change. I'm still reticent to communicating details beyond 90 days. Reticent, that's the word. But I do want you to be comfortable with our direction and where we are headed. With this in mind, we've decided to use the forums as the means to get the information about the next couple of months versus waiting for a roadmap. This will allow us to be more responsive to your questions, address your concerns, and maintain a better dialogue going forward. It also helps, especially me, to stay available and not make it seem like we've disappeared into the ether. So here's what you can expect in March and April this year. But before I get to that, what do you think about them using the forums more for this instead? You know what's
funny? I've actually never been a big fan of forums on any site.
Right.
I really have never paid attention to forums at all. Actually, you know, it's kind of in connection with this, you know, we're influencers and I can say that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been influencers for a while.
Right. And well, there's like certain forum threads that are for influencers only, and I still have never been able to find one.
Well, I'll have to send you where that is. But the bottom line, though, dude, is...
Let me just show us how very little I go into forums.
Right. But what's interesting about this is that if you follow the dev tracker alone, anytime a dev posts, you see that. And you see the question that was asked. Which, right. Even if you don't want to dive into the forums, you can still see that kind of back and forth.
That dialogue, right.
And so I think it's okay. We'll get to later. Somebody asks about, you know... live streams and stuff like that, but you know, it is what it is. So first and foremost on the roadmap, this is game update 5.8. This is coming March 13th, which is a day after my oh, Skeen, you're killing me, a day after my wife's birthday, March 13th. I love our chat. Okay, so operations, Isaac's the destroyer, the fifth and final boss, finally, Gods from the Machine is going to be done. And this is the last boss, Isaac's the Destroyer. We haven't even been able to tackle the fourth boss yet. So I don't know. That one was already hard enough. But anyway, there'll be two modes with Isaac's, story and master mode. This also means we'll not be offering a full master mode for all bosses in the operation.
Yeah, there was some pushback against that, wasn't there?
Yeah, so they're kind of what they're doing is they're probably not going to, they're going to stop doing master mode going forward.
Right.
And this, although...
Well, it's such a small percentage of people that can even attempt it.
Right. And I think what they're doing with this one is this one's going to feel like master mode, but this will be the last one.
Right.
It's kind of how I read it. But, and he says, this was an especially difficult decision for me to make, as I've loved the interaction between developers and our rating community. Yet, based on what we're planning for this year and beyond, it's better to focus on upcoming group content. So, here we are. However, they're going to run a special. This is kind of cool. An Isaac's event. For those who are worthy enough to defeat him, everyone who does will have an opportunity to receive a new achievement, a special and unique title, and a new and very enticing legacy-based award. They'll deliver the title and reward when we launch 5.9, and that's called the Thema Conspiracy, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Cool.
So that's looking up for the raiders out there. I'm intrigued to see how far some of us are going to go to try to get that that achievement. Because you know what happens, dude. Like, those time-sensitive ones, we all wait till last minute. It's like, oh, my God, who needs it? And then right. the whole guild jumps on and tries to make it happen. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. They're going to do a Conquest revamp. And I'm not going to read what he wrote in the roadmap part because actually, as of today or yesterday, they actually posted the Conquest revamp. And I'll get to that okay. in a minute. Okay. Companions. Arc and Romance. Of course. Everyone's favorite former villain has had a change of heart and maybe more available than he was previously.
Oh.
I killed him.
Oh, did you?
I kill everybody.
You kill everybody.
I like them all dead. It makes me happy. Does that make me evil?
There's something wrong with you.
I agree. Anyway, companion return. Vector's coming back. So Imperial agents, we'll see Vector come back. Also, Ashara will come back for the Sith Inquisitor, which she wasn't my favorite one, but it'd be cool to have her back.
Yeah.
My main is an Inquisitor. And this I thought was pretty cool. And I know you haven't read this yet.
I have not.
You're going to be excited. This is called the Commander's Compendium. Ooh. So this is Keith's words. Personally, I like having various companions with influence level 50 available. And depending on the fight, I want a ranged DPS or melee, etc. I also like the various animations and barks from various things. So jumping to it, he says, we are introducing a new companion gift that can immediately raise the influence level of your companion to 50. But it's expensive and requires some crafting and requires you complete your personal conquest objective before you can purchase it from the vendor. So they're going to have this new vendor. And if you meet all the requirements, you can get this one thing to raise that companion to 50. So I stopped giving gifts to all my companions because I know I can do this.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, first of all, is it going to be cheaper overall than buying all the gifts that you would need to buy?
I don't know if it's I don't know if it's a credit expense. I mean, it's going to be it cost me over 10 million, I think, to get one companion up to 50.
Yes, it's just ridiculous.
So, and you know, I don't mind spending that.
Now, traditionally, I run heroics, get the
Yeah, things. I don't have that kind of time. So, it's not I can't imagine it being that expensive otherwise. Might as well just
do it. I don't have that type of credits for 10 million a pop.
I do, baby. All right. So how do you feel about that? That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I still wish that you could just give more than one gift to a companion.
Oh, at a time? Like give a stack of 99.
Yeah, like a shift click.
Yeah, and I don't then, know like, why they can't do that.
I don't know. There's some limitation or something, or they just want us to, they want to torture us. I don't know what it is, but I really, that would make me really happy, actually.
That or shorten the refresh time on it.
Yeah, if you just boop, that'd be something.
Because like it's like when you're doing decorations.
Yeah,
you can
rattle those off. That,
it's all good.
So anyway, man, I'm excited about this mostly because I know I'll be able to meet the requirements, and I still think, and I was listening to Passionate Casual earlier today, and I think it was Mox was saying he wishes you could just. He said the same thing I said not too long ago, where if I level one companion, like make it a legacy unlock. If I level up a companion, I've said this before, to 50, if I have that companion in another
It should be unlocked for all characters.
It should be unlocked for all of them. Like, so especially all the ones from like Star Fortress and stuff like that. Like the ones that are common to all of us, like the Aetherian, for example. Exactly. Like if I level him to 50 and I have him on another tune, I should be able to get him. That's my personal opinion. Yeah. But and it'd be something they could do for a hella credits in a legacy unlock. But
exactly. Unless you've, you know, killed them.
Well, again, most people around me die.
Thankfully I've survived 18 years.
You'll never make it a 20. Okay. So cartel market. They've improved the way we operate the cartel market last year based on our feedback, and the team is looking to make additional big changes. So that's something. So that's 5.8. How do you feel?
I'm excited about that. Is that all the companions that are coming back? Because I thought I'd heard someone else.
I'm getting there.
Okay, geez.
I'm about to start 5.9.
Wow. Okay.
You're a little sensitive tonight. Okay, April. This is game update 5.9. Don't. That's inappropriate.
Yeah, a little sensitive.
It's called the Nathema Conspiracy and a new flashpoint. And this year's story has shown the final ramifications of the path of Valkorion. First chose when he devastated Nathema. So it's only natural that we go there to bring the story to its exciting conclusion. And I do have an update to this later. This is going to be the end of the traitor storyline. Oh, no, okay. 6.0. Or no, this one. I'll get to it later. And they've added powerful new augments for those who need additional stats. to take down Isaacs in Master Mode, or he simply wanted to be OP. And this new Flashpoint, they provided a legacy-based crafting patterns, which is bind on pickup, which will drop randomly off of mob bosses. So if you're one of the lucky ones, you may be able to find a BOE, which is bind on equip, version of the same pattern. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And operations, Isaacs will offer new rewards, and they're providing a new vendor just outside the Gods and the Sheen operation, offering special items to those players who have earned an achievement for killing Isaac. So if you get that reward, you get access to this vendor and you get some cool stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
It's kind of nice, right?
I always like access. You know, I've been playing the GTN a little bit, so I've got, you know, a few million credits saved up right now. And I'm saying, okay, do I want to save that and just completely unlock a stronghold that I, because like, I don't think I've
Oh, I have something about strongholds there.
Because I haven't re-unlocked Yavin since I've come over to the new to the server, and this has been, what, a year and a half or what? So
yeah.
Basically, my main stronghold is Manon right now. But I was thinking about buying the pre-order wristband to get up to the VIP
to get
club.
The VIP. I like going up there knowing you can't get there. All right, so it's true. I like the exclusivity. Want to hear about the companions coming back? It's because you're white? Really? Is that what we're doing?
I think that's what you're doing.
Can we have something? Did you see Black Panther? Can we have something? Wakanda forever. Okay. So, companions. Felix Erelso is coming back. The Jedi Council's loyal soldier has come back. And also, the big one, is companion return Mako and Akavi for the bounty hunter and smugglers return.
About
are reunited. So that's coming back in 5.9. And then we have some subscriber rewards. There's a series of subscriber promotions throughout the next few months. Look for it in your email, and I have a follow-up to this as well.
Yeah, the whole Chiss
the February Share Your Love thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
it was kind of funny.
It ends February 27th, which is already passed, so I'm going to talk about it here in a minute. But
I was looking back through some old SWTOR emails that I'd had there in an old folder or anything.
Sure.
And I realized that they had given away like 1,500 cartel coins like a year and a half ago, and I never clicked the link.
Oh, God. You're crazy. All right, so beyond April, discussion topic. So this is at the bottom of the roadmap. As we look back to 2017 and now beyond the conclusion of the Traitor storyline, we're planning to continue delivering content in the same manner through 2018. When you look at the total year, you received a wide variety of multiplayer, solo activities, Starfighter, New War Zones, Flashpoints, Operations, etc. And they're aware of the fact that there's more traditional expansion wanted. Let's see, 6.0 game update is going to be a thing. And he says, I like having updates released regularly versus waiting long periods of time. So they're going to probably continue with that. Although this remains our current plan, we are also laying out what we'll include in 6.0 game update. So we'll keep us informed. It's pretty cool, man.
Awesome.
Any overall thoughts?
Mako's coming back.
Mako, bro. That's happening.
Does that mean Matt's coming back?
It's hard to say what he's doing. All right, man. So there's a feedback thread if you want to jump in there and get in the discussion. There was a question about the, and I'm just running through some of the questions super quick. Somebody asked about the rewards being time locked. And Musco says, yes, it's going to be locked between 5.8 and 5.9. So you have to defeat Isaacs in veteran mode. They're messaging it as master due to its difficulty.
Right.
Although it's, we were talking about that. But it's similar to Nightmare Power event. And it's veteran / master mode only. And the quick explanation on the rewards, he says, beating Isaacs during this period will grant you a time-locked achievement, which is a title special reward, and after 5.9 you can no longer achieve that at all, so that's something.
I just thinking back, you know what I need to do
that? And the special reward will then become a very rare drop off of Isaac's, which is a bind on pickup version instead of the legacy wide. Oh, that's kind of cool. Okay sorry.
I still haven't completed half my Star Fortresses. And
really?
I still haven't finished.
There's a bunch of companions you can get. It's pretty cool.
I know. That's why I keep trying and I keep losing.
You're blowing it.
And
I could show you how to beat it. It's not that bad.
Well, I know how to beat it, but I'm a freaking sniper, dude. I'm soft as all get up and
get a level 50 companion.
I've got a couple and I've tried it.
Anyway, continue.
I've tried it with my level 50 Wampa and I've tried it with my level 42 Lana.
All right. Well,
and the other thing I still haven't done is finished the the 10 champions thing that you have to beat.
Oh,
with yeah. The Bodar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have a lot to do, bro.
I really just need to like take a weekend, and I need to get a couple people from the guild to come help me out.
Everybody's willing to do stuff. All right, so Musco posted, oh no, somebody asked about PvP Season 9. He says, currently it's looking like Season 9 will end somewhere in the summer.
Which means you'll get your prizes around Christmas?
Yeah.
Boom, Bioware.
But there's also no PvP content planned for 5.8 or 9, so
okay,
it is what it is. Class balance, people of course are asking about class balance, and he says, yeah, 5.9 actually has utility changes for various classes, and some changes planned to address shank tanks in PvP. There's some backlash on this too, because there's some DPS classes that actually have some tank abilities, like the Marauder, for example, right. Who can taunt and stuff like that. So I think they're going to maybe take those away. I don't know. That's the idea. And clarification on, actually, I don't need to talk about this because this is the veteran mode versus story mode discussion with the boss. And, oh, I thought this was really interesting. Somebody asked about when, because they did mention that they wanted to do the weapon balance, weapon slot.
Right.
In the outfit designer.
Outfit designer, right.
And somebody's asked about it. And he says, not, this is Eric. He says, not currently slotted in our plans, but we still have a high interest in doing it. So no updates on timing just yet. We'll be sure to let you know when they get into the plan. So
I'm sure they'll get to that about the same time they get to stackable storage.
Oh, how dare you! it's fine. I'm actually okay with them not dealing with it right now. But
no, it's not a huge thing.
We've been without it for so long, but it would be nice because there's a couple. I have like three weapons I really like on my assassin, and I just kind of, you know, every once in a while I'll throw a different one on there. You know, so. People were asking about the Arcan romance, if it's going to be like during the story, and it's going to be an alliance alert, is okay. What he's saying. But you must have completed Kotet and have him as a companion, so you can't kill him like I did.
Right.
Spoilers.
Well, if not, then you're dealing with necromancy. And
well, that's fine. I'd rather that than actually date him.
There's something wrong with you, dude.
Here we are.
Anyway. This is D&D side coming out.
I know, right? Class locked companions. So I guess the weird thing is if you're not those classes, you can't get those companions is really what it's coming down to. So the follow up here is following on errors.
So basically you can only get Mako if you're a bounty hunter.
Yeah. The companion returns are based on finishing chapter 9 of Kotet and they return to their original class. There's one exception. Should I say it? It's a spoiler. I did a spoiler tag.
I would.
I kind of said it in the roadmap, but anyway. There are some companions that there. It might be available to more than one companion or two might be available to more than one class, depending on the story.
Okay, I got you.
So I think I said that well enough. All right, we're returning companions. There was some concern, like, if their weapons were going to be the same, because I guess there was some of that in the past, like Scorpio's changed or Jorgen had a cannon before and now he has a rifle. But all the companions that are coming back, in 5.8 and 9, all their weapons are going to be the same.
Okay.
And will this be the end of the traitor storyline? This is what I was talking about earlier. Does 5.9 mark the end of the traitor storyline?
You were so waiting to kill them, aren't you?
Yeah. And so, yes. And he says, actually, the original post said, does 5.9 mark the end of the traitor storyline? Can I finally get Theron back? And Eric says, I can confirm that 5.9 will mark the end of the traitor storyline. I'm not going to answer the second question. You will just have to see how things play out. Similarly, we won't answer many Theron-related questions to avoid any 5.9 spoilers.
Right.
So, makes sense.
Makes sense.
And somebody asked if there's going to be a live stream soon, and really, I think they're leaning on the forums. They don't feel the need to...
Well, live stream just takes a big chunk out of their day.
Yeah, and they just feel like this is working now. There's nothing so pressing they need to jump on a live stream. And Keith had some thoughts on some stuff, and I'm just going to jump through this real quick. So there's some questions somebody put forward, and he said... this has to do with account-wide ignore features. So basically, if you ignore it on one tune, it's not on your whole account.
Okay.
So that guy can keep harassing you if he knows what your tune names are.
Right.
So he says, I like the account-wide idea and we'll look into the cap. What we may find is we need to automatically clean up your list and remove those accounts, etc. So there's some cleanup there. And, there's some other stuff with hacking and war zones, stronghold decoration maintenance updates. They're going to look into that. Because it looks like the hook capacity increased for flagships from 800 to 1,000. There's some other stuff going on here. And excuse me, the last thing here, and he says guild interface improvements is already on their list, is what he's saying.
Cool.
And he met with some players recently, and that's something they want to do. So
awesome.
It's something that needs to come sooner rather than later, but here we are. And the last big thing, dude, and like I said, I know we're going through this fast. Everybody's been talking about this stuff, but this just popped up yesterday. And this is the game update 5.8, the conquest changes. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Are you asleep?
No, I'm just kidding.
Really? I'm going to jump over there. So they're giving it a huge overhaul. So I'm really just going to jump to the bullet points because just of time, we've spent a lot of time on this, and we can come back to this as more things develop. Because again, this just popped up yesterday. There's a number of changes coming to conquest objectives. Completing objectives will now award credits, experience points, and command experience in addition to their conquest points.
Okay.
Which is cool. Conquest point values for all objectives have been rebalanced across the board.
Getting your personal conquest has always been kind of laborious.
Well, and I think this will help. In addition to one time and repeatable, there's now also daily objectives. And some current objectives will change type with 5.8, which is kind of cool.
Okay, good.
The invasion bonus for conquest objectives has been removed.
Thank you, because it only helps like four
people. Yeah, it's madness. And the stronghold bonus still applies. It's the best part. Each owned stronghold counts for 25% bonus up to a maximum of 150. Nice. Sorry to all you stronghold full of chairs owners out there. So it doesn't have to be full of stuff. You just have to own them.
Okay.
Which is, in my opinion, one of the best changes.
Yeah, because why do you need an arm?
I don't want to fill up a stronghold I'm never going to use full of chairs.
Exactly.
And then the last thing here, it says weekly conquests are no longer on a set schedule. They'll be randomly selected each week with the exception of a recurring event like the Gree event.
Right.
So we'll report more on this with stuff coming. But
because I've always liked the idea of a conquest. But the only way for me to ever complete them was just by crafting a ton.
Yeah. And he gives an example because it's basically talking about smaller planets will be more appealing to smaller guilds. Bigger planets to bigger guilds,
okay.
Obviously, but rewards are skewed. So
right.
If a big guild wants to go on a smaller planet and do that, fine, but they're not going to get much for the bang for their buck. So I think these changes are good, man.
It's like a level 50 trying to go farm crafting materials on Hutta.
Exactly. Last thing, dude, before we get out of here, quick update on the Share the Love promotion and the February subscriber award. So if you qualify for the promotion, you should see an extra 30 days in your sub time. If you don't see them and you feel like you should have had them, contact customer service. Also, subscriber rewards, they normally grant them outside of a maintenance window, but there was some snag, so they should be rewarding those on March 6th. So
right.
Roughly about the time you hear it. Right.
So basically what it is if you're a subscriber at all, then you get the chiss stuff.
Yeah.
The gear and the mount?
I think so.
But if you were not a subscriber, but you are a new subscriber for this month, you get the extra 30 days.
I think so. I'm not sure. Okay. I lost track of that promotion at some point.
Exactly. Basically, next week I'll get some free shit.
Kind of how I'm looking at it. And sorry for the coughing, guys. I've had a cold for 2 weeks, despite all this stuff. All right.
Sucks.
Let's move on. Out of SWTOR, thank you for bearing with us. Let's move on. Where are we at?
Star Wars.
So how many sections do we have in our show? So I feel like...
Three.
Just kidding, dude. All right, let's move on. Just razzing you, bro.
I was raised to do one thing. But I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
That can be taken so inappropriately.
Should have brought more scotch.
More scotch.
All right, man.
But glue for the best of times.
So I know I bought another bottle. All right. So discussion topics. Dude, this is weird.
It's not. I'm going to argue against this.
Okay.
Read it.
All right. So Daisy Ridley claims that J.J. Abrams wrote drafts for episode 8 and episode 9.
No, he did not.
No,
I do not think he came up with an entire written script draft. I think he probably came up with a treatise or a you know, very similar to what Lucas had done for episode 7, 8, 9.
Right.
You know, they're probably 5 to 10, maybe 20 pages of content ideas.
Okay.
But it's not written
down. You don't think it's a full deal?
No, I don't think it's exterior.
Do you think that's what she's implying, though?
Well, they're saying drafts. And so drafts in this means exterior day. I don't think they're full script drafts.
So her quote is, here's what I think I know. JJ wrote episode 7 as well as drafts for 8 and 9. And this is what she shared with Lay Magazine Geek. And then Rian Johnson arrived and wrote The Last Jedi entirely. I believe there was some sort of general consensus on the main lines of the trilogy, but apart from that, every director writes and realizes his film in his own way. Rian and JJ met to discuss all of this, although episode 8 is still its very own work. I believe Rian didn't keep anything from the first draft of 8. So where is she coming from with this then?
I honestly think it's just a word and use of a term that she's using.
Yeah.
I don't think it actually is a draft. I just think that's her British side coming out saying draft in a
in draft, meaning there were a couple pages about it.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, and I'll even give it that might be 20 or 30 pages.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not a, you know, full, you know, 120 page script.
What do they call it? Treatment.
Treatment. Yes. Yeah. I said treatise earlier. I meant treatment.
Got it.
So I'm guessing you probably wrote a couple of treatments just to give
the whole story of scope.
Well, not only that, but to, you know, when they, because he was the first one hired on, when they were going after Rian Johnson and Colin Trevorrow and others, I'm sure that he gave them to them so they can kind of see, is it in my wheelhouse?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm with you. I'm excited about our Star Wars news today.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
We have some neat stuff. So okay. What do you got here?
Who here knows what the Wilhelm scream is?
We all do.
It is no longer being used in Star Wars movies.
Why? When was the last time it was used? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Was it in 7?
It was not in 7.
It wasn't.
And it was not in Rogue One.
It was in, well, it was in 6.
Right. It was in the first 6, but it was not in Rogue One and it was not in 7. And it was not in Last Jedi. The sound mixers have actually come out and said they've created their own scream.
Oh, really?
Similar to like what the Wilhelm scream would be, but not as, you know.
Obviously ridiculous. Right.
And they said they're not giving it a name because they want it to like gestate. I mean, I don't know the exact quote, but they did say gestate. They wanted it to kind of like organically come about.
Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
And so there, you can actually find it if you want to do like new Wilhelm scream or something like that. I'm sure you can do, but it's been used in over 400 movies and it's still in a whole bunch of upcoming stuff.
Really?
But it's a standard.
Huh.
So, I mean, seriously, I'm sure if you were to open up your YouTube right now and just search Wilhelm scream, you can play it for him.
Well, yeah,
but honestly, I think it's what was played when Boba Fett got knocked into the Sarlacc pit. I think that's what.
But I thought they used that. No.
No. Well, yeah, Star Wars is. But I'm saying that Star Wars has not used it in the new movies
since then.
And well, they haven't used it since the first 6 movies.
Right. Yeah.
But they won't be. So they haven't shown it in 7, 8, or Rogue, and they're not doing it coming forward.
I see the story you're talking about. I just don't know.
Go to the videos page.
Wilhelm! Yeah, I'll just fill my pipe!
What the hell are we looking at? This is the
first time. And that's why it's called the Wilhelm scream, because the first character to do it was called Wilhelm.
No, I get it. I know what the sound was. I thought we were trying to find the new one.
The older one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the older one I could have found easily. I thought you meant the new one. Yeah. Sorry, dude. I blew it. Moving on.
We've got a couple of books things coming.
A lot.
Yes. Well, you talk about the first one.
So Solo obviously is going to have its own comics and novels, and there's a bunch of them.
Are we having a Journey to Solo like we had Journey to Rogue One and Journey to?
We're gonna get. Oh man. So here we go. It's not a full blown Journey to Solo, is what this says. The new stories are going to focus on Han Solo, Lando Calrissian, and Chewbacca, as well as other new characters. But we're going to get an array of novels, comics, guidebooks, like we always get. And of course, going to come from Del Rey, Marvel, and IDW. And it says that, let's see, we're going to get a Han and Lando novel called Last Shot.
Oh, nice.
Which, oh, that just makes me so happy. Instead
of Shot First?
Yeah, it makes me happy. We're also going to get this is like a novel as well. Who wrote the first one? Hold on. Let me look. Oh, by Daniel Jose Older. This one's going to be called Most Wanted by Ray Carson. And that looks also like a novel.
That's a good title.
Yeah, it is. And then there's going to be a Lando comic series called Lando Double or Nothing by Rodney Barnes.
Nice.
That looks
awesome. There's already been a five-part Lando series, which we loved.
Right. I actually really enjoyed that. And there's The Art of Solo by...
that'll be cool.
Yeah, by Phil Zostak, I'll say. So that looks cool. And then we got a Solo, The Official Guide by Pablo Hidalgo.
Which they always put out.
Yep. And The Mighty Chewbacca, Forest of Fear, which looks like a young, actually looks like a graphic novel of some sort. What does it say? Middle grade.
It's probably like the same age as the Young Jedi Academy.
Yeah, exactly. That looks cool. And then Star Wars Adventures, which is also a...
Oh, it's going to be a free comic book day.
Yep, free comic book day.
Which is in May, right?
Usually. Yeah, May. Usually the first week of May, isn't it?
Something like that.
And then it says, and then the last one is Solo, A Star Wars Story. And that is Chewie and the Courageous Kid. And it looks like a sticker book or something of some sort. So, I mean, look, all these movies are going to have their tie-ins and stuff, but I'm actually kind of intrigued about the new Lando series.
Yeah, me too.
Because I just like that character and I want to see what he's doing. So,
yeah, absolutely. That sounds cool. I'm excited about it. Normally we get the novelization of a book comes out the same week as the movie.
Right.
Last Jedi did not.
No.
The novelization is actually coming out next week.
Yeah.
And just like when Phantom Menace, the book came out, we only learned a little bit more about Darth Maul.
Wait, is it out next week or is it out already?
I think it's March 6th.
Okay. Either way, I wasn't going to pick it up because I never really do, but the link I have in the show notes is really interesting.
Yeah, it gives a little list of what
you learned about. Yeah, thanks, Keen. First Saturday of May, usually. Thanks. For Free Comic Book Day. I knew it was early May. So what's interesting about this is I didn't read through it all on purpose because I'd like to actually discover it if I want to read it. But the post, this is from comicbook.com, has all the bullet points of Snoke.
Yeah, what we learned about Snoke.
Yeah, so the two, so basically it says new details of Snoke's background and rise to power included in the new novelization of the film by Jason Fry. And the story bits were compiled by Dork Side of the Force after the novel leaked in certain corners of the internet. So Reddit, obviously. So we're not going to reveal them or talk about them.
Well, I mean, I'm going to mention two things in very broad context.
Okay.
Because it's not going to tell you exactly what it is. But basically, you find out that Snoke has had at one time a connection with Skywalker, with Luke. Okay. Which, cool in and of itself.
Right.
And of course, it makes you wonder, was his rise to power foreseen by Palpatine or seen by Palpatine at all? And you find out that Palpatine was aware of him.
Right.
And to what degree, we don't know. But that's definitely something to look into.
All right. Sounds good. All right, so that's all the book stuff we got. We got some Solo things.
Yeah, actually, a couple of these I put in last week's newsletter because we were not...
I wasn't sure.
So. Right, well, we didn't record last week, so if you want to read the articles, they're there, but we're going to talk about them a little bit here.
We'll talk about them real quick. Yeah.
Right, one of them was the fact that the Solo movie was actually in the works before Lucasfilm sold to Disney.
Which is interesting because it has to do with Kasdan, right?
Yeah, well, Kasdan's always been a big part of Lucasfilm regardless. But the cool thing about this is not unheard of. I mean, it's not like when something sells, everything goes away and then...
I like this quote. I was reading this earlier. It says, so when I was done, I was sort of burned out because they were working on this thing, JJ. So it says, after Disney purchased Lucasfilm and work began the project, we become The Force Awakens. That became an intense endeavor. When I was done, I was sort of burned out, revealed Kasdan. And I said, I don't know. Do we want to do this Han thing? And they said, yeah, we really want to go ahead with Han. And then he says, and he kind of passes off to his son, John, which is kind of interesting.
Because John's the one who ended up writing the script.
Exactly.
But basically, it just shows that he had written up like a treatment or something about it.
Exactly.
Before.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to get to something very similar going on between Fox and Marvel later on.
A little later, yeah.
Yeah.
So we watched in our trailer time segment for our patrons earlier in the show, we watched the international trailer for
Solo.
And there's a sweet, sweet poster that I have a link in the show notes to that came along with it. And oh my God, that looks amazing.
Yeah, I believe actually I've already posted that to Pinterest.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's very cool.
So cool. So definitely check that out. We have that in the show notes. We have the timeline revealed, which is something I was really want to talk about earlier, but I held off till now. This basically says that, let me find it, Solo, A Star Wars Story's time frame, putting the events of the film roughly 11 to 14 years before the events of Star Wars.
Right. So basically you're looking at Luke and Leia being about 4 years old.
Exactly.
Four to seven.
Yeah, because Han was what, around 30? When
yeah, I think he was supposed to be
original Star Wars, around 30.
So it puts him at, you know, 19 when he's joining the academy to...
Yeah, to early 20s.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it says if you head over to Del Rey's website, you can explore an interactive timeline of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, Del Rey is really good on keeping the timeline intact.
That's cool. Cool, man.
A couple of these articles, actually, you can also find on last week's newsletter.
Yeah,
sorry. Why original directors departed the project.
Yeah.
And basically, it's just the vibe wasn't working.
Well, and the quote that I was going to say for tonight was, it says...
Is this one about how deadlines were getting missed?
Yeah, I think these guys are hilarious, but they come from a background of animation and sketch comedy. And when you're making these movies, you can do that. And there's plenty of room for improvisation. We do that all the time. But it has to be inside of a highly structured process. Right. And it just wasn't working. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I really think, it just shows how classy Ron Howard is that he's not talking about how much of who did what.
Yeah, and he's not talking about that. But the cool thing is I guess Lucas was on the set hanging with old Ron for a bit.
Well, I mean, they've known each other for 40 plus years.
Forever. Because yeah.
You have to remember that the first major movie that Lucas is known for, I mean, he did THX 1138, but he's most known for his first big movie was American Graffiti,
yeah,
which starred
exactly.
Ron Howard.
Which is Ron Howard and Harrison Ford and all those guys. Yeah. So what I think is kind of cool is that George was hanging out and like he helped direct a scene. Like, how cool is that to like bring your boy back who started the franchise in the first place, who got you going? thanks, Bly, for getting me back on track. I'm terrible. But
at least he didn't write the scene.
Yeah. Well, no, he's giving me crap about not.
No, I'm saying at least.
Oh, yeah. At least Lucas didn't write the scene. We're talking about too many different things. Yeah. But I think it's kind of cool, man. Do you think he'll get a credit on there somewhere?
No.
It'd be hilarious if he did, though.
No. Because that has to be the only way you get a credit is through the Directors Guild of America.
Yeah. It's just, you know, wishful thinking.
Yeah. It's not happening.
All right, bro. Crush my dreams. Last Jedi news.
Yeah, tell me about this.
So there's a documentary out that I haven't watched yet that I can't wait to watch.
Well, it's going to be on the Blu-ray, right?
I think so. Let me open this up. This had to do with The Last Jedi explores the sound effects of The Last Jedi. Yeah, sorry, a new documentary. That's
what the documentary is called The Force of Sound or something like that.
Yeah, it's called The Force of Sound. It's from ABC News. And I don't know when it's coming out or if it's out already. I meant to look at that before we started, and I didn't. Oh, it's The Force of Sound begins streaming February 20th, so it should be out already.
Already available. Awesome.
Yeah, cool. So I will definitely check that out, and I might try to find it tonight because I really want to watch something like that tonight. But the sound effects, they've always very creative with how they do sound effects in Star Wars.
Oh, so, absolutely. I mean, except for the Wilhelm scream.
Again. Can we not talk about that anymore?
Talking about other stuff, though. Episode 9, they have hired the Blade Runner 2049 art director.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because I thought both Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049 are stunning artistically.
See, and I haven't watched Blade Runner 2049 yet, which I would like to.
Just from the trailers, you can see how stunning the art direction is.
Sure.
And so I think this is a good pickup.
I 100% agree. Yeah, that's on my list of movies I really wanted to see was Blade Runner. Is Ford in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point, yeah.
He plays Decker.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, dude.
All right, so tell me what Filoni has to say.
Well, Rebels has started, and I haven't been able since we've been
out. Okay, I almost put in an article about Rebels, but it has a spoiler, so I didn't.
I don't want to talk about it until next week, and by then, I think tomorrow is usually my TV night with my kids.
Right.
And I think are we two or three episodes in the new season?
Four.
Shoot.
Because they're doing two a night now.
That's right. Okay, so... I'm going to try to catch up with the kids. Maybe it'll be a couple weeks before we talk about it. Cause I like to watch.
Cause honestly, I haven't watched the first half of the season yet. I just need to binge the whole thing.
Yeah. So we've watched the first half, so we're ready. But, okay. So anyway, long and the short of it is Star Wars Rebels producer teases announcement of new series soon.
Okay. Well, I'll give kind of like a
vague, it's Dave Filoni, obviously.
Right. I'll give a vague thing about what's the spoiler thing that I almost put in the show, is that there's a couple characters that are coming back after not having been in it for a while. And it's going
to not being in Rebels.
Right.
Okay.
And it's going to tie up a major thing from season three.
Oh, interesting.
Or season two or three. I can't remember which one.
Okay.
That has never gotten clarified.
So now, you're making me think, dude.
I'm excited for it.
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to see what the new animated series is going to be. Filoni is phenomenal with this stuff.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I will say that the whole thing that gets clarified, it goes to show how powerful Ezra's becoming.
Oh, I love it. Thanks for not spoiling it. We'll talk about it next week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me some merchandise.
I threw this in here last minute, dude. And there's a new Last Jedi Funko Pops that you can recreate the fight between with Kylo and the in the throne room.
Okay.
With the what do you call them? The Praetorian Guards.
The Praetorian Guards. So how many people do you think are going to remove the Praetorian Guards? Move Rey and
Rey and
Kylo to the same one. Yeah. Remove their lightsabers and move them closer.
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's what we're all going to do.
Which is essentially
the reason I put this in here.
I'm not shipping Raylo, okay?
All right, dude. Let's talk parks news. Because I'm excited about the first one more than anything. I haven't been there since... we went over the summer. We did go into the... We didn't go in the launch bay last summer. But we went earlier in that year. And, you know, I saw Chewbacca.
Right.
And
all the standard people.
I have a really cool picture with Kylo Ren that I love.
Right.
But... Finally,
basically all the people that can hide their faces.
Yes. But finally, you can meet Rey.
Yes.
And it's a long time coming, man. Could you imagine like these little girls, dude, like that? These little girls who look up to Rey and then they go in the launch bay and don't see her.
Oh, I know. Right.
You know, and it's like you see the dark side, you see the light side, but your choice is Chewbacca. Or Kylo Ren.
You don't even see Leia.
Yeah.
You know?
When I went, my choice was Chewbacca or Kylo Ren.
Right.
And of course, I'm going to go see Kylo Ren. He's got the voice and the stuff. My link's not working for this one, but I was actually going to throw it up there. It's kind of a cool picture. You know how Disney does their face characters pretty well.
Right.
And they try to capture the cartoons look like actually.
Right. Because this is, I'm sure they're going to go more off of what it looks like in Forces of Destiny than anything else.
And yeah, and the face was a little fuller and, you know, and that kind of thing. But I the girl looked good, dude. And and the kids would, you know, I mean, if you're looking at a kid who is looking up to Rey, I think that'd be really cool, dude.
Absolutely.
I
will say this is actually an article that I put in the newsletter last week. Mm-hmm. But there was actually quite a bit of Parks news last week. Mm-hmm. So if you go to back newsletter, you'll see something about the new new Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster, which is going to be happening at Epcot.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually taking the place of the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
I was wondering what they were going to do with that.
So that's replacing that. They're talking about new rides from other places around the world, all nice. Star Wars and Marvel themed. They're putting in an Ant-Man and the Wasp ride right next to the Iron Man experience in, I think it's Shanghai.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I did hear about that.
So you'll see those articles in last week's episode or last week's newsletter. In this week's episode, we're gonna have something about Black Panther ride, which is coming to a park. Yes, I purposely did not put that in this so we could tease out the newsletter a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it right now.
All right, there's a roller coaster coming that's gonna be Black Panther
thing. I hate you. All right, so let's talk about what we are gonna talk about. Walt Disney World Resort Star Wars themed hotel will connect to Galaxy's Edge. We've talked about this before.
It's Westworld immersive.
Yeah, but they've released like a little teaser thingy, which is pretty darn cool. So you can kind of see like people in a it looks like kind of a space station sort of thing. You see someone in a wheelchair. You see people around a display outside. There's a space battle going on. I don't know how much money I can save for this.
I know, right? We don't have no idea how expensive it's going to be.
But I'm hoping, dude, I hope that it's, and I say only knowing how much it is because I've done it before once or twice, I hope it's only about the cost as it is to like stay at the Grand Californian.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking, you know,
$300 to $500 a night.
A little under three to close to $500 a night, depending on the year. You know what I mean? And I'm hoping that's what it is. You know what I mean? Because then that's something I could maybe muster up, you know, for a couple nights just to get that experience.
Oh, exactly.
You know, for my family. But I don't know, man. I hope it's not so much. It's out of reach. Right. But I'm willing to save up and do it, because by then my kids will be older. I just really want this to happen. I think it'd be cool. So, you have anything else on this, or you,
all right? Look in your show notes.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You sucker. So Will wants to talk about now the Black Panther theme park ride.
All right, because I actually haven't read this article because I wanted to leave it for. I'll just read a little bit. It says Black Panther has dominated the box office and won over fans worldwide. This is from comicbook.com, by the way. And now it sounds like the latest entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe might just hit another milestone. A theme ride at Disneyland.
Disneyland? Where would they put it?
While there's not currently a concrete plan to build a Black Panther-themed ride, Disney CEO Bob Iger told analysts at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference in New York on Monday that it's something that he was certain would work on. Iger told investors at a conference that there's a one-hour line to meet the Black Panther character walking around at Disneyland, and when he asked if there is a ride, his answer hinted that there could be one to come. Quote, "We haven't had a chance to build a ride," Iger said, "though I'm sure there are people who are working on it." That's the quote. If Disney goes forward with a Black Panther attraction for the theme parks, it'll be the one area where the movie isn't breaking records. Disney has an established history of taking its most successful movies and translating them into theme park experiences, and there are already a few MCU-based attractions. Yeah. We already talked about Guardians of the Galaxy and Iron Man.
Well, I don't understand the Disneyland choice, though.
By Disneyland, I'm sure they mean Disneyland Resort.
Okay.
And so you're probably looking...
It's got to be over in California.
Yeah. Honestly, the smartest place to put it would be where they do like the whole Hollywood backlot.
Yeah. Somewhere over there.
Yeah. To turn that into a Marvel experience.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I like that idea. Having Shuri's Labs in there and stuff. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. That'd be very cool.
All right, man. We only have a few things in the last section. Let's start wrapping this bad boy up.
Yeah. So we are into usual...
He said, jumping off mic.
Usual roundup.
We call it the usual roundup now.
Oh, God. I freaking hate you.
I can't imagine any kind of future where I'm a hero.
Well, you're not.
In the future, none of you are heroes. You're legends.
And I've been waiting a while to say this. As Kevin Smith always says, if you're watching us live, I'm burying the lead. I have Kevin Smith's face up here all night, but I'm not going to do it to the end. So we'll talk about that later.
And actually, I will point out, Blade makes a very good idea of a Black Panther simulator ride, similar to what Ross does riding in Shuri's lap.
That'd be sick, dude.
I think that would be a great idea, Blade. Yeah, good job.
That'd be awesome. And that was one of my favorite parts of that, was that idea of driving the virtual reality, you know, from a remote location. I thought that was cool. So I have something random that I threw in here as book news, and I thought it was an interesting opportunity to kind of say,
how much of a D&D geek you are,
how much of a D&D geek I am, how much of a fantasy geek I am. And also just, audibletrial.com/usualpodcast. But
speaking of companies owned by Amazon,
you're right. So, but Driss Duordan, is going to come back, under R.A. Salvatore is writing a new Driss series. And I've read all of his novels, except for one series, that doesn't have to do with Driss. But, all the Driss novels I've read, and I've been reading them for 15 years or more. But this series has to do with, Zach Nafeen, his father, and, with Jarlaxle and Menzel Berenzahn. And I just think I'm so excited about this. You've never read him, and you're in my D&D campaign. Right. Jarlaxle is a character from this that I
love.
We drink
with him quite frequently.
Yeah, you do. And, it's amazing stuff. And I absolutely cannot wait. So I put a link in the show notes. Nerdist had an exclusive about this, and there's a ton of information in there. If you're interested, cool. I just wanted to talk about it because R.A. Salvatore is one of my favorite authors. But also he writes in Forgotten Realms, which he pretty much helped create. And a lot of the stuff that comes from that is dark elves and stuff like that is from his mind. So
cool.
I just wanted to give him a little shout out. So what do you got?
Archer, which we're huge fans of. And if you listen to us back during Comic-Con, we were kind of hyping all this stuff about the new Archer season 9, which is called Danger Island.
Yep.
They've finally announced the premiere date, and it looks like it will be April 25th. And this is going to be the second straight season that takes place in a fantasy world within Archer's mind while he's in a coma.
Oh, so yeah, because he never dealt with that.
Well, yeah, because remember, he was shot at the beginning of season 7, the Figgis Agency
right.
one. And then that was told in flashback.
Flashback.
And then 8 was the Dreamland in his coma. This is Danger Island in his coma. Evidently, season 10, which is going to be the final season, will be back in real life, and they're wrapping up all the stories.
Nice. All right, man. Some Netflix news. Season 3 of Stranger Things is shortening their episode count. How do you feel about this?
From what to what?
Well, I think it's by 3. It's only going to have 8 episodes in the next one. Well, I think it's down from...
The first 2 had 10, right?
No, down from 9 from the second season. And the original episode... count of season and back to the original. Oh, it was 8 and 9 and 8.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, not a big deal.
Not a huge deal, but
it's not like you're dropping from like 13 to 8 or
yeah, I was thinking, I thought the original was 13 for some reason, but yeah, 8.
Well, it's not like that they're doing like the drop like Game of Thrones.
Oh, dropping like 4 episodes or whatever.
Yeah, but they're also going to be like half an hour longer too.
Yeah. So. All right, Fox News, dude.
Lots of Fox News, which is really interesting considering that they're getting gobbled up by Disney.
Yeah. So and I thought this was important to talk
about. Well, this is where we're coming back to the part where, you know, story planning, these things go take years out. So even when you have mergers and stuff, things don't just get dropped. Things don't just get created.
Right.
So Fox is actually working on a standalone Silver Surfer movie, which can't be any worse than the Fantastic Four movies that they're doing.
Right.
This year, there are 2 X-Men movies coming out. Right. We've got Deadpool 2.
Right.
And Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
Okay.
And they're officially... talking about those as X-Men movies.
Right, because they're in the X universe.
Because technically, yeah. Right. I got you.
There are, from what Fox says, there are 6 movies coming combined in 2019 and 2020. So you're talking about 3 movies for 2 years each.
And is one Deadpool 3?
That's the thing. It's what's being considered the front runners for all 6 titles are Deadpool 3, X-Force.
Yep.
Gambit finally getting done.
Hopefully.
Kitty Pryde, which has been announced.
Right.
Another X-Men sequel. And possibly X-23.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sick. X-23 would be sick.
Those are the ones that I'm guessing. And whether Disney decides to pick all these up, it's just going to be one of those things where even if Disney buys them.
But do you think that they'd be... I just think it'd be interesting if they decided... I could see them... I guess what I'm trying to say is if they're going to pick up the company, let them go forward, but like start getting involved in it and making sure that it's what right. they well, want to do going forward. Because Disney's got this vision. Exactly. They're good about seeing the future.
What I think they're going to do, because you can do a standalone Silver Surfer movie or whatever and not have it greatly impact the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Sure.
Same thing with like Gambit or something like that, because you can retcon them later on.
Right.
Right. Very similar to like everyone ignores it, but Edward Norton's Incredible Hulk is technically part of the MCU.
Right.
Even though Ruffalo is now Hulk, right? So something like that, where they can go ahead and let these be done. But I think that they're, if Disney does...
Sorry. Good night, Skeen. Thanks, man. Skeen. We're almost done, I promise. It's a long show tonight. We haven't been around for a while.
I know, right? If Disney does, you know, finish the buyout or the merger, then they're probably going to take on a production role similar to what they did with Sony's right. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right. Yeah, Blaze, right. We're trying to think about that. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think they're going to get involved in them to the point to where it's going to... They have to make sure it's going to go forward. They don't want haphazard stuff.
Yeah, if you look at another kind of thing that kind of shows this, that kind of portends this,
right.
is the Marvel Comics universe is getting rebooted again.
Yeah.
And they did a big, what's called a splash page showing... The main characters are going to be, and right front and center are the Thing,
right,
and Logan, and all these characters which are not owned by them currently,
right.
Well, outside the comics universe, and they have purposely tried to stay away from those characters because they don't want to give them more revenue.
Agreed.
So they're obviously thinking this is going to go through.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see all those movies. So here we are.
All right, so we have a little bit of Marvel news. So as we alluded to earlier, the Avengers Infinity War release date has moved up a week from the first week of May to the last week of April.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are hypothesizing they're doing this because right now Black Panther is just about to stay number one in its third week.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now, since Deadpool moved up to May from June, they want to move up one more week to get a full 3 weeks before Deadpool comes out.
Makes sense. And we get to see it earlier.
Yeah, exactly. An extra week earlier.
I don't wait for the mic, but yeah, we get to see it earlier. So that's exciting.
And then also in the show notes, you'll be able to take a quick look at this, but they released an image of all the stuff that you get at movie theaters for, like very much when we went to Last Jedi, and they had the cup and the popcorn cup thing. With the
thing, yeah.
They've got a whole bunch of stuff for Avengers. Awesome. So very cool.
Awesome.
And also, James Gunn has come out and said, even though he's not a director or creative head on Avengers, he says that there's no X-Men in Avengers Infinity War, which I didn't think was going to happen anyways.
Yeah.
But this does not say anything about Avengers Part 4. True. Which is where they probably would come in.
Which is after all the stuff, after they figure everything out, like they'll end up there probably. Yeah. Makes sense. Should we talk about some Black Panther fun? We've already talked about a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So some Black Panther stuff. You saw this trench coat thing, right?
Yeah. Have you seen the actual video? It's hilarious. Shit, it
makes me so happy, dude. So these two kids tried to sneak into Black Panther, classic cartoon style. One kid standing on the other, on the other kid's shoulders.
Yep.
Big trench coat, hat, and tried to sneak in. They were too young to obviously go to the film. Two black kids. They wanted to see the film, and I just love the fact that they tried so hard. Obviously, they caught them. Homeboy, when you see the video, he's like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, it's
like
ridiculous.
Absurd how tall he is. And of course, nobody's going to buy that. But it's just, I just think it's cool that somebody tried so hard to see.
It shows the cultural import of something like that.
And that made me happy. So I put a link in the show notes. You can find the internet too. It's just funny. And
I think this is great. In honor of
this is cool.
Of Black Panther breaking $1 billion worldwide, and the fact that Shuri has such an important impact on the role and the importance of women in technology
and STEM.
Disney has donated $1 million to a youth STEM program. And if you don't know, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math.
which has been a huge push for the last, I don't know,
decade
or so, trying to get women, more girls involved in STEM.
Exactly.
And I think it's so important.
Yeah. And honestly, if you want to, for those of you who have daughters or girlfriends, whatever, go check out Society of Women Engineers. And also there's a great organization called Girls Who Code.
Yeah.
And it's all about getting young girls as young as elementary school learning how to code early so they can make a big impact on the computer science marketplace.
Yeah. And as a father of two girls, like both my girls, like they, you know, they like science, they like stuff, and I just want to keep encouraging them to do this stuff. So
exactly.
I think it's super important. All right, man. So let's, we're almost out of here. Guardians of the Galaxy 3? What?
Yeah, well, it looks like somebody tweeted James Gunn.
Agreed, said, like, Shuri was my favorite, too. She was the best, I think.
She was great.
The comic relief in that film.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure.
So.
Somebody tweeted James Gunn and said, please consider Mark Hamill for a role in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And then it just created a whole tidal wave of responses between them back and forth. And so James Gunn said, I think James Gunn said that would be cool, a cool idea. And then Hamill responded and said, we live around the corner from each other. Invite me over as a good neighbor and we'll have a nice little talk. And so James Gunn said, seriously, absolutely.
I hope he's in it.
And then Hamill says, slide into my DMs and send me a script or something like that as a good neighbor. and then Gunn comes back and says, I can't send you a DM. Then Hamill says, I followed you. Does that mean is that how DMs work? Just watching these two old guys go back and forth all in the public view.
Trying to figure it out. That's awesome. I love it. Hamill's great, dude. I hope he's in it. I hope he ends up being in it because that was so difficult.
Oh, absolutely. Well, plus, there's already a precedent. I mean, we had Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. What else you got?
Oh, well, James Gunn has also come out and publicly said that Volume 3 is going to be way different from the first two.
Good. I don't know what that looks like.
The first two are great. And honestly, this is also something that's going to be in the newsletter, so check it out. But he's also come out and said that Groot is officially dead.
Ooh.
That he died at the end of the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And that baby Groot is actually Groot Jr.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's kind of an offspring.
So cute.
And so it's, but it now it's sad face. That Groot is dead.
Well, Groot died, clearly.
Well, yeah.
Am I the only one that thought that he was dead?
Well, no, everybody did. But then they saw Groot, baby Groot, and they thought it was.
Well, and then we get this progression. They like, thought it you was have baby Groot, and then next one we're supposed to have teenage Groot.
Right. Well, they thought it was a regeneration and not a. Yeah. But yeah. No, it's a completely different entity.
Eek.
So very dead kind of. Groot.
That makes me sad.
All right. I'm going to let you take over here.
All right, man. So. I buried the lead long enough. You've looked at Kevin Smith's face long enough if you're looking at the live stream. In our SMOD section this week, Kevin Smith, Sunday night, had a massive heart attack in between his two...
While working.
And in between his two stand-up shows. So he was filming a new stand-up show. He did the first show.
His first one in almost a decade.
Yeah, he did his first show. And if you watch, he did a Facebook Live recap of the whole thing. And I remember it pretty vividly because for me, guys, Kevin Smith is literally my hero. He's like one of my favorite people on the planet. I've been lucky enough to meet him a couple times, but also.
You've hugged him.
And I got to hug him. He is like literally my inspiration for why I keep. Instead of just going to work every day, I do things on the side like this podcast, like my writing. I just want to keep doing stuff until something hits. And he is really my inspiration. So when that hit, I think it was Monday morning because I was gone. Like we said, I was traveling Sunday.
Sent me a thing at like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was traveling all Sunday coming back from the wedding. And Monday morning I get up and I get all his notifications on Twitter, and I thought he was retweeting something that said like, oh, you know, someone had a heart attack or whatever. Anyway, I thought it was just he was retweeting something that happened to somebody else. No, Kevin Smith had a massive, massive heart attack on Sunday night.
100% blockage.
And he basically was going to die. If he had done that second show, he would have died.
Yeah.
And so what happened was he decided he wasn't feeling right. He wanted to lay down in between shows. You know, he had his people kind of looking out for him. And he said, I just want to lay down, kind of lay down on that couch, that kind of thing. And eventually he's like, you know what? He couldn't catch his breath. And then he said, well, maybe I should call a doctor. And they end up calling an ambulance. And he goes, and you know, Kevin Smith, if you ever listen to his stuff, the thing that I love about him is he's upfront with his insecurities, and he's like, I don't want people to lift my shirt up, I don't want you to shave my groin, I don't want you to do, and he's like, and the people around him are like, if you don't do it, you're going to die. So anyway, long the short of it is, what they had to do was go up through his groin, come up through his artery in his heart, his widowmaker as they call it, and which was 100% blocked, and I guess this runs in his family. And all of that, and they saved his life. These amazing doctors in Burbank saved his life. He's at home now. He's doing great. But for me, I woke up Monday morning after coming off this crazy high of my sister getting married, and wake up in the morning, I'm like, my hero was nearly almost dead. And I don't know, you know, I know we're gonna lose Stan Lee soon. I know we're gonna lose these people soon. But I'm not ready. He's 47 years old.
And, yeah.
And for me, this put a lot. In perspective a little bit, like I gotta be on top of my medical stuff, I gotta get checked up, and I gotta do this stuff because I don't want all of a sudden to be blindsided by something like this. I have two kids, he has a 19-year-old daughter,
right,
you know, and a career and all this stuff going on, and for me, I this hit me really, really hard, and I had a really rough Monday, and I really think it was partially because of this, man. And as many times I've seen him in live, as many times as I've talked to him, and as many times as he's actually said my name and asked us about our podcast, like It's so minor and so stupid, but for me, man, so much, yeah. it means so much. And so I'm so glad he's okay. They put a stent in his heart. He is now vegetarian, which I thought was awesome.
I saw him tweet today. It was like vegetarianism day three. Yeah,
as a vegetarian, I think that's amazing.
Oh, sorry, pescatarian.
Pescatarian, excuse me. And I love that he's okay.
Yeah, and as much as we love him to work,
yeah.
I mean, I know you're a huge fan of the Goldbergs. He's planning on.
He was supposed to direct the season finale.
He directs, you know, Supergirl and Flash. He's working on that movie in Florida. He's
doing the History Channel thing.
The History Channel thing, all that stuff. And as much as we definitely want to see him again at Comic-Con, he works his rear end off at Comic-Con. Yeah. Seriously, dude, take time off.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We'd rather have you here for the next 20 years than the next 20 weeks.
Exactly. And you know, and now this is a wake-up call for him to see a cardiologist regularly. Excuse me, and all that. And I think that's important. We all need to be on top of things. None of us eat well. Most of us are doing things we probably shouldn't be doing, and we need to make sure that we're on our health. And this was a wake up call for me, but also I'm so happy that he's still here.
So if somebody wants to send him good thoughts in real time, what do you do?
So somebody posted on Twitter, and I have a link in the show notes. Actually, I should just give. I mean, not that by a small podcast like this. This woman, Jennifer Kaminsky, posted. She said, anybody would like to send a get well card to Kevin Smith, they can send it to the stash. And
which
that's
is the comic book shot in Red Bank.
In Red Bank. And they'll forward it to Kevin. And I put the, I will make sure that the address is in the show notes, but it's 35 Broad Street, Red Bank, New Jersey, 07701.
And I've actually been there, and it's very cool.
I want to go there so bad.
Yeah. And the guys there are very cool in real life, and they will definitely take care of that stuff.
Yeah, and it's Walt Flanagan. It's his people. It's the guys that he has been friends with forever. And so anyway, I want to end this on a funny note, but I also want to say, I know he's not listening, but Kev, you got to stay with us. You got to stay with us, man.
You inspire us every day.
This is literally the reason that I started a podcast, is because I listened to him say I need to start a podcast if I want to start a podcast. And I don't have the listenership that he does clearly, but I still love it, and I want to do what I love, and that's inspired by him. So
yeah, Blake brings up an interesting point that there was actually backlash against Chris Pratt, of all people, who's like the coolest guy ever, because he's a devout Christian,
right?
And he put out thoughts, he put that out he's prayers,
pray for him.
Right? Well, the funny thing is instead of like dealing with it as a controversy. Kevin Smith is great. And the next day when he tweeted out, he's like, he wanted to thank everybody for the warm wishes and everything. And then he gave a special shout out to Chris Pratt for his prayers.
Exactly.
And so it was a really nice way for Kevin Smith to just like smack down his followers while still saying thanks to everybody. So what's this Disney gift?
So I want to end on a positive note. And yeah, the Chris Pratt thing was weird, man. I just felt like the internet kind of sucks sometimes. You know,
most definitely
somebody should be able to say, especially someone like Chris Pratt. And if you listen to, and if I think about it, I'll put the link in the show notes. But if you go to Kevin Smith's Facebook page, his Facebook Live, he talks about the Chris Pratt controversy. And it was kind of interesting because he said he was stoked that Chris Pratt actually said that. But he actually in that post during that stream, he said, don't be lame for someone who's trying to wish me well, whether you're religious or not.
Exactly.
Like, and I thought that was very Kevin Smith. But let's end on a positive note, because he is better. And Ralph Garman on the Ralph Report, he was also saying some good things on
yeah, the important thing is Monday. He's home and he's out of intensive care.
Exactly. So so there's this running joke that on the Disney Channel, people always mistake him for Kevin James.
Right.
Right. And so Disney Channel sent him a get well thing with some Disney cookies. And it says, a spoonful of sugar helps the vegan go down. Wishing you a speedy recovery, your friends at Disney Channel. And on the cookie says, get well soon. And it's in the shape of Mickey's, you know, torso and pants. And it says, Kevin James.
Awesome.
It's funny. I have a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. I just wanted to make sure that we talked about that, and I got to say what I wanted to say because,
of course,
you know, like I say, I feel like I've been spouting off a lot lately, but that's important to me.
Absolutely. So.
You had to deal with it. All right. So we're almost out of here. Two quick San Diego Comic-Con things. Two. Ready? The fourth wave of guests, this is kind of old from a couple weeks ago, for San Diego Comic-Con 2018 has been revealed. But the one name on there that stood out was Mark Bernardin.
Nice.
And so he's on that list, and I can't wait to see what panel he's on, and I want to kind of check him out.
And he's probably going to be hosting a panel too.
Yeah, he probably will be, but this means he's an actual
content creator.
Yeah, he's an actual special guest, so right. He'll have some sort of panel around him, which is important. And then this I thought I'll bring to your attention because we've been in this line before. WonderCon, which is also part of
International Comic-Con.
Yeah. Comic-Con International.
Thank you.
WonderCon is moving to an online lottery system for select autographs, which means all those lines way out the sales pavilion, down the marina, all the stuff in San Diego. We don't know if it's happening in San Diego yet, but if it's happening at WonderCon,
it's a test run for
it. Yeah, they're probably going to do it in San Diego, but you don't have to waste half your day.
Right. So no more waiting 3 hours in line to see the cast of Frequency.
Yeah. Waiting, hopefully, to get the one you want. And then when you don't, you're like, well, I'll just meet Mekhi Phifer then.
It was pretty darn cool.
It was freaking awesome. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on this. But I thought this was kind of a nice change. And it's a lottery system. But if you get lucky enough, it's better than... And in the post, it's actually kind of interesting because you can wait half the day. You walk up there and it's still a lottery. You reach into a bag and hope to get the one you want. Right. And then when you don't get it, you wasted half your day.
Exactly.
Right? So... we'll keep you guys posted. Those of you coming to Pucked 3, we maybe won't be staying in line half the morning. And we can go get mimosas.
Mimosas, y'all.
Yo. And on that note, just kidding.
Although I don't drink mimosas, I'd probably go for a land shark.
I love mimosas.
Land shark, yo.
What is that, vodka?
Nope.
Wait, what's a land shark?
Rum and orange juice.
Oh, I don't like land sharks. Anyway, thanks for tuning in to the usual podcast. If you have comments or questions, you can find us at theusualpodcast.com. Email us at theusualpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook, Google Plus, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm at Darth Pops on Twitter, and Will is at I am Will Griggs. Like us, share us, find us on all your favorite podcatchers. Support the show, patreon.com/usualpodcast, the best way to do that. You can also find us audibletrial.com/usualpodcast. We have merch at something.
teespring.com/stores/theusualpodcast.
Nailed it. And guys, seriously, thank you everybody for bearing with us. We've been here a while tonight, but we haven't recorded in a while.
Yeah, it's
been a while. I like a long show after a long hiatus.
Word, yo.
All right, man. So let's get out of here. What do you want to do?
I want to make sure everybody has some fun.
Have fun. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.